Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred. You're listening to His Time. It is time for Creation Club Friday. Good morning, Pastor Worth.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to get to talk with you this morning. What do you have for us this week in Creation Club?
Well, let's start off with some announcements. And one is that people can now register online for the 2015 Lutherans for Life National Conference, which will be held October 30 and 31 at the Creation Museum in Petersburg, Kentucky. The theme of the convention is Created, Redeemed, Called, and speakers at the conference will include Ken Ham, Dr. David Menton, Colonel John Eidsmore, who is an astronaut, by the way, and has a book out by CPH that has wonderful pictures that he took from the space station, Tim Gagline, and Reverend Dr. James Lamb, as well as John Hawkins, Lori Trinchy, and Buddy Davis, who works for the Creation Museum, and he will give a creation concert. So lots of good stuff going on there. You can register online. You can go to look for LutheransForLife.org. And there information's there, and we hope many of our listeners will be able to go. It will be sort of a double hitter there. You get great stuff at the Creation Museum, as well as supporting the pro-life work of Lutherans for Life.
I had the chance to talk with Dr. Lamb earlier this year about the conference a little bit. And this year, since it's at the Creation Museum, instead of doing a lot of breakaways or sectionals, they'll have the keynote speaker and some of those speakers. But instead of doing a lot of sectionals, they just want to give you time to go through the Creation Museum and learn about what they have there.
There's so much to see. And, you know, it really does tie into our pro-life position as as Bible-believing Lutheran Christians, you know, because why are we pro-life? Because God is the author of life. You know, he created us and he redeemed us. And so to be pro-life is to recognize that life is a gift of God. And the information that's available at the Creation Museum just ties right in with what the Bible teaches about our creation and our redemption in Christ. And then also, you know, it shows lots of scientific stuff to help people understand you don't need to believe the phony baloney tales that you're told by the people who believe in evolution and who want to make it as though there is no God, life is an accident. You know, this is just really great stuff. And Dr. Menton is really a great speaker, as are all the others too. But Dr. Menton has a particular talk that he does on human reproduction that is just out of this world. You can see it. He's got a DVD that's available through Answers in Genesis, but he may, I'm not sure, but he may give a speech of that type there. And when you just go through the whole process of human reproduction from an egg being ovulated, you know, from an ovary, and how it gets to be fertilized and grows and the wonders of the placenta, you know, he just goes on and at every step of the way, it's not just the miracle of life, it's miracle after miracle after miracle. It's just a wonderful talk, and he weaves together so beautifully the actual science, the biology, looking at the human body and what happens in human reproduction, but also ties it right in with God's word that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that it, you know, it ultimately leads back to a very beautiful biblical witness, giving praise to God as our creator and leading also to the message of the gospel that, you know, God loved us so much that our Savior was willing to be born of the Virgin. You know, so our Savior himself was an embryo, and he was a fetus, you know, and a baby. He came into this world, true God and true man, to be our Savior who died and rose again to deliver us from our sins so that we might be God's own possession forever. It's a wonderful message, and I'm sure all the speakers will be great, so we hope that those who are able will try to attend that meeting and get the benefit of the Creation Museum and the speakers there, as well as hearing Dr. Lamb and the leaders of Lutherans for Life.
It will be, I think, it'll be a nice family event this year, too, since it's at, it usually is, but being at the Creation Museum, I think that'll be pretty engaging for the whole family.
I would say so.
Well, very good. I'm still trying to work out the details to see if we'll be able to make it there. I really hope that that I can make it over to that the conference this year. It sounds like a great event. What else do you have for us?
Okay, there's another conference going on this weekend, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. It's the Issues, Etc., Making the Case conference, and Dr. David Menton is one of the speakers there as well. I believe he's speaking on making the case against naturalism. I'd have to look again to see what his speech is, but whatever he talks about, it's great. Dr. Menton is such a wonderful, engaging speaker. And again, he does an excellent job. He's so knowledgeable about science. You know, he taught at Washington University School of Medicine for many years and was a highly respected professor there, speaking about anatomy and so forth, human anatomy. And he knows so much about these things, but he's also a dedicated Lutheran Christian. And so he always ties his talks about science and the Bible all together. You know, he talks about science and anatomy and biology and brings that right into what the Bible teaches, and he helps us realize once again that we don't need to fall for the lie of molecules to man evolution, and when we look both at God's Word, the Bible, which is the source of truth for us as Christians, but also looking at with our eyes and our senses and our reason, looking at the world that God made, we said that there is not a contradiction. You know, so this whole idea of molecules to man evolution and millions and billions of years, it just doesn't cut it. And Dr. Menton does such a wonderful job of explaining these things in layman's terms. So even when he uses a scientific term, he always explains what it is, and he has a good sense of humor, a wonderful, engaging speaker, and he will be, once again, at the Lutherans for Life conference in October 30 and 31 at the Creation Museum, but also this weekend, Collinsville, Illinois, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church there, speaking at the Making the Case conference. And if people are interested in that, I'm not sure if there's still any openings available, but if so, you go to the issuesetc.org website and look for the Making the Case conference information and check it out.
Well, very good. Very good. What about any other topics? There have been a lot in the news. I know we talked about Jurassic World recently. I did get to see the film, by the way.
What did you think of it?
It's Hollywood. we're gonna talk about it on Faith and Family in the not so distant future. In the next week or two, we're gonna cover it on Faith and Family with Reverend Chad Hoover. He's a teacher at the department chair of theology, actually, at Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He and I are gonna take a look at that movie. It's a film, and it's a good film. I have to say, it was somewhat predictable after seeing, you know, Jurassic Park, but I don't know. I didn't see any dinosaurs with feathers.
Okay, and that, of course, was criticized by the people who firmly believe in the fairy tale that dinosaurs just evolved into birds. And so there's another article perhaps we can talk about in our remaining time that appeared this past week. The title is "The Paleontologist Who Worked on Jurassic World is Trying to Create a Real Dinosaur Within 5 to 10 Years." This was online on the Business Insider, and it appeared just in this past week. Basically, Jack Horner, it was the man that he's the one here that was interested in this whole idea of creating a dinosaur. And, you know, he says, well, we haven't got any dinosaur DNA because DNA decomposes so quickly that, you know, he doesn't think there's any real possibility we'll get that. But he says, do not lose heart, because we have a more effective way to get dinosaur DNA. And how are we going to do that? Birds. And we have creatures on the planet that are directly the descendants of dinosaurs, birds. And if you ask a paleontologist, birds are dinosaurs, specifically avian dinosaurs. You know, we stop right there. You know, this gets so silly. These people who are so firmly wanting to believe this untrue account of birds evolving from dinosaurs go so far as to completely muddy the whole scientific enterprise. So the classification of animals according to their kinds, by looking at, you know, all these different things, has been developed over years and years, and it, you know, it makes sense if you can say, well, this is this and this is this, birds are birds and reptiles are reptiles. But if you want to believe so firmly that birds came from dinosaurs, you go so far as to say that birds are dinosaurs, and that's just silly. But, you know, we could just as well say, well, dogs are cats, or people are apes, or apes are people. You know, that's just, it's not right. It's not true, but it's an expression of their religious faith in the molecules to man evolutionary tale. What the article goes on to say is that birds may still have in their genetic makeup the genes that would code for things like tails or arms or snouts and claws and teeth and all this kind of stuff. And it's just a matter of how we can get them to be expressed. So the hope of this particular scientist is that if we mess around with the genes enough, we will eventually succeed in getting, well, a chickenosaurus or perhaps a dino chicken. That's kind of what they would get at. And so his idea is that maybe we can turn back the clock on a chicken's evolutionary history. And this has been tried before. In fact, there was a recent article about a pair of Harvard and Yale scientists who recently announced that they'd found a way to turn chicken beaks back into dinosaur snouts. Wow, we really did something great. Well, I studied that article and did another program on a different radio station about that recently, and they didn't turn a chicken beak into a dinosaur snout. They lie. They exaggerate grossly. What the scientists actually did is they found a particular protein in a chicken embryo's development that they were able to interfere with so that the beak of the chicken embryo developed abnormally, okay? It didn't turn into a dinosaur snout. You had, and the chick did not even hatch, you know, so they so messed with the genetic makeup of this chicken embryo. It didn't live. It didn't survive the experiment. But at the point where they got it to go, you had a chicken with a malformed beak, mm-hmm. not a chicken with a true dinosaur snout or something like this, or on the way evolving into being one. They didn't actually even change the chicken's DNA, genetic code. They messed with a protein that had to do with how the beak develops. It would be comparable to if somebody messed with a human baby in its embryological development, and you come up with a cleft palate, or perhaps there's an actual genetic abnormality where a human may be born with an appendage where your nose is supposed to be, and sometimes, you know, they call it like an elephant baby or something. And that has nothing to do with evolution. It's not that people evolve from elephants or something like this. It's not a genetic improvement, nor turning back the clock in evolution. What you're doing is you're messing with an embryo and causing a genetic abnormality. And yet these people are hailing this like this is some great scientific breakthrough, and that we're on the way. Within 5 to 10 years, we're going to be able to create a dinosaur. Well, when you continue to read the article, he says, well, actually, it wouldn't necessarily actually be a dinosaur like the previous ones. It would be a new kind of thing. It would be a bird dinosaur that would be a new kind of creature, a new species, he says. It's like, well, what you would have is a deformed chicken if you're actually able to do that. And all these experiments that people are doing on this, the best thing you're going to get with is a malformed chicken or bird of some kind that you're messing with their genes. You're not creating a dinosaur. But he is so confident in this, he says, we have the possibility of creating animals, even like a triceratops, if we just can figure out the genetic code. And I say, good luck with that. and to think you're going to do that in 5 to 10 years, you know, it kind of goes back to the Garden of Eden, where you shall be like God, right? And then people are having this idea that they can be godlike and mm-hmm. mess with the genetic code and actually create any kind of creature they want. Of course, he points to other kinds of research that have been done, taking genes from jellyfish and successfully putting them to rabbits and make them glow in the dark. And mice with transparent skin. Well, you know, some of these things are like sinking a 3-inch putt, as opposed to having to sink a hole in one when, you know, the hole is a mile away. That's a completely different thing. It's much, much easier to do some gene splicing, which has been done, where they can say, well, which part of this DNA makes for bioluminescence in a jellyfish, and can we snip a little bit of that out, and if we insert it into the rabbit or the mouse, will it actually take, and will it result in the fact that maybe this creature will have bioluminescence too? That's a much easier thing than to actually create a whole new creature. And this idea of creating, once again, brings us back to who is the creator? God is the creator. as this article ends, the scientist Horner says, we've been genetically modifying the genes of animals for thousands of years. It's just called breeding. What he fails to note there is what breeding is dealing with the created kinds. So yes, if you have dogs in the dog kind, you can do all kinds of different things in breeding, and you get everything from Great Danes to Pekingese, right? And you have wolves and dingoes and foxes and German shepherds and poodles, and yet they're all the dog kind. You can't get from one kind to another kind. And here's where this whole thing falls apart, because birds are of a different kind than reptiles, and so their dream of trying to create a dinosaur are very, very much astray. And the dinosaur to bird evolution is a lie. So God help us to believe what he says in his word about our creation and our redemption in Christ.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Worth.
You're welcome.
God's blessings on your weekend.
God bless you, too.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer right here on His Time.